Hi, this is Janet Gowan back with Love Letters Live. And today's guest is a woman I met recently named Andy Vallo Espina and discovered what she does for a living and thought, oh, that is so interesting. You would never know that anybody does this for a living, given how you see people walk down the street dressed how they are dressed. We live in a, casual time. And I'm going to introduce Andy Vallo Espina, and please tell us what you do for a living.
All right. I design men's clothing, and I thought that I'd always wanted to make suits.
Why?
Because San Francisco is a suit city. People dress better than anywhere else in the country.
Okay, when did you come? When did you come here to San Francisco?
The early 80s.
And they were still dressing well.
And they were dressing well, and women were wearing skirts and hats and gloves and such. And in today's world, you only find a handful of these people. So I do make occasionally clothing for women if they require something unusual.
But what, you wanted to maintain this standard?
Yes. So I started with primarily making suits for men.
How did you get that word out?
I actually advertised in 13 publications in the Bay Area, including the in-flight magazines, which were national. And then it was primarily word of mouth. The clients come in, they're measured, they select fabrics. All my fabrics are from Italy, England, Scotland, and France.
So when they come to you, I have a question. I have so many questions about this because I see people walking down the street, and if their pants are pulled all the way up and belted, it's unusual. And once in a while, I see a woman just beautifully dressed, and I remark on it.
Mm-hmm.
And people notice it.
Absolutely.
But what do these men come to you with? I mean, do they know they need help? Do they start from scratch? I don't know how to dress myself.
There's several different categories.
Please.
One is they know more than you do, and then I find out later they don't know as much, but they think they do. And then there's the fellow that says, just dress, you know, you do it, you order everything, make sure I look good.
And are these all businessmen?
Primarily. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of athletes. I dress the NFL, the NBA.
Oh, my God.
I've got 9 NFL teams that I've made clothes for, big, small. I've made jockeys' clothes, entertainers like Tom Jones and Chris Isaac. I've done their wardrobes.
So these are men who know about dressing beautifully and come to you to help them.
Well, then there's the fellow that says, I don't know anything about clothing, so I'm leaving it totally up to you.
And this isn't the funeral and wedding contingency.
No.
This is for daily life?
Daily life.
How lovely.
Even though they do need something for the funeral and the wedding.
Mm-hmm.
They need their basic black suit. They all need a tuxedo. Because if they have one, they're going to wear it. And if they say, oh, I don't need one, I'll say, listen, you just order a tuxedo and you find out whenever you go somewhere formal, you will, in fact, put it on. Because it's easier than putting on a black suit.
You know, I noticed something a long time ago, many years ago, that when people call for black tie, the men come in lovely dark suits. They almost don't come in tuxedos. And the women come not in ball gowns, full length, as black tie used to mean. They come in a nice looking pantsuit or a cocktail, what used to be known as cocktail dress.
Mm-hmm.
And once in a while, a long something.
Dresses are back in predominantly for business. You don't find a lot of pantsuits anymore.
I've noticed that,
It's dresses with a nice jacket or coat. They're wearing furs more frequently, even though now San Francisco has banned furs for 2019. Purchasing furs is out at Saks and Neiman.
Yes.
It's despicable because that's a whole department of people that will be unemployed. Then if a woman comes to me and says, I have a pear-shaped figure, or I'm a six-foot bride, I can't buy off the rack.
Oh, okay.
Can you help me?
Uh-huh. Now, so, you get a designer and a maker?
No. I am the designer.
Oh, you are?
And I have tailors that work for me. I have 35 tailors that work for me nationally. And I buy all my fabrics from Europe. And they're in small increments. If I need 3 yards for a woman, I can order 3 yards. It's not like a manufacturer, a garment manufacturer, where you have to order, like 200 dozen yards of a cloth in every color in order to manufacture.
Right, right.
With custom tailoring, you can buy small increments if I need 6 yards right. or 2 yards or whatever.
What was your most difficult man to dress?
Well,
the biggest challenge ever.
I've had a few. I had a quadriplegic mm-hmm. that was a well-known physician here in Burlingame. That his wife called me and said, he's going to be on a television program. I understand that you're a custom tailor, and I'm wondering if he can't get out of a wheelchair, what can you do? So we went down, I took an assistant of mine, and we went down and we measured him for a suit, a shirt, sport coat, and trousers. And we Velcroed the suit mm-hmm. on him in the chair mm-hmm. for the program.
How nice.
And
so that's difficult, but not by anyone's design. I mean, that it was something that
it was
be
very
helped.
Difficult.
What about the emotional difficult?
Are
people maybe not? Maybe they're totally cooperative when they come to you.
They're usually putty in my hands.
Yes. Okay. First of all, you're huge and you've got a reputation, but also there you've got a voluntary audience. Yes.
For instance, Bubba Paris, who played for the 49ers.
Mm-hmm.
He has been a client of mine, and he's 6'6", 320 pounds. And the coach said to him, if you eat anything, if you gain weight mm-hmm. over 320 pounds, we're going to take you off the line.
Mm-hmm.
So my associate and I were invited down to their camp while they were training. And Bubba was at the side of the pool fishing. And he said, oh, there are all my tailors. And we said, Bubba, what are you doing? And he said, would you like some fried chicken?
Uh-huh.
And here he, in his locker, he was eating a whole bucket of fried chicken as well as the lunches that we went to have lunch with him. So the media would contact me and say, now you're making Bubba Paris's clothes. Can you tell me, what does he weigh? I said, well, I'm not at liberty to say what he weighs. You can talk to the team.
Mm-hmm.
So they cut him for a short period of time because his weight. Well, I knew that he was like 30 pounds over I wasn't at liberty to say anything. And he's no longer playing for the Niners. He's retired. But there are some challenges, and that was a TV show that we had done. It was aired, and we've done quite a few shows like that.
Okay, so I understand better now what you do. I had no idea that something like you existed. I did not know.
I take 36 measurements of a man's body, and make the all in proportion to this.
I just wonder how many people in the world know there is such a thing as what you do. And I guess if they need it, they would get directed to you. And women come to you if they want something special made?
Yeah.
Like shirts. I know JR, you did 3 shirts for her.
Oh, yeah. And I did some trousers for her, 3 pair mm-hmm. trousers. But I did that suit, the red ensemble for one of the ballet girls, one of the girls on the auxiliary. It's not the ballerina. And I do a lot of ensembles, dresses with matching coats.
Nice.
And I love making coats.
And what?
I love making coats.
Do you?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how to sew yourself? You say,
oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
How did you learn that?
Could you
make a coat?
I could. Oh, yeah. But I don't do that or I wouldn't make any money.
No, I understand that. I was just wondering what your skill was.
So my skill is, my major is economics at the University of Michigan, and my minor is psychology.
Mm-hmm.
And I basically run a business, and I took a tailoring course, and I...
How old were you when you took a tailoring course?
Oh, it was like after college.
You mentioned, I think, before we started talking here kind of formally, you mentioned your stepmother was a designer?
Yes.
And you said that's quite a story. Can we have that story?
Quite a story, yes. My father was attending a wedding in Dallas, and from a very prominent family.
Now, you know, your parents were not together at this point?
No, no. And my father was living in San Francisco, and my mother was in Michigan. So he went to the wedding, and he met the designer of the clothing from the wedding. Mm-hmm. And the couture designer was brought in several times from Paris for fittings and making all the clothes for the bride, the mother of the bride, the entire, you know, party. And they met, and he invited her back to San Francisco, and she invited him to Paris, and they ended up getting married. Mm-hmm. And she moved to San Francisco, gave up her couture. She had a couture she worked actually for Courrèges for a long time.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And then ran the store in Paris. Then started her own couturier with wedding gowns.
In Paris.
Yeah.
So is she here now?
No, then she moved to San Francisco and became very bored and went to iMagnons. And when they found out she spoke 7 languages and she was couture, she ran the third floor, the designer floor of iMagnons, until her mother became ill and she went back to Paris. Then my father moved to Paris. And that's where they reside. So it was a great story, you know.
Yes. It was also a great store.
It was a great store.
And
Joseph Magnus was, you know, junior.
Yes, until they opened so many stores that they got boring.
I know.
But when they had that first little store on O'Farrell and Grant, I think it was so one of a kind.
It was.
And then they started opening them all over the state, and... Yes, that's kind of the kiss of death, I think, too many. People get saturated and bored,
mm-hmm.
you know. But
well,
look
what's happening with Macy's.
Same.
I mean, they're closing the men's store on Union Square and opening a Whole Foods.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
So the men's store wasn't doing so well, huh? Evidently not.
And I think Macy's is probably going to close eventually, too.
You know, no disrespect to the people who do work for Macy's, but I have noticed... When you go into Macy's, that finding a salesperson is a chore.
It's true.
Well, service ain't what it used to be.
No, it's true.
Know? Okay.
This is why I'm in a service business.
Yes.
And
yes.
if they want a quality garment,
yes,
that's what I do.
And personal attention.
Mm-hmm. And I'm also very competitive price-wise.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah,
I'm about the same as
off the rack.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah.
Interesting to know, people.
So if you go through magazines and you rip something out that you like, and you like the top of one and the bottom of another, I can put that together and make that look proportionally perfect on you. So
wonderful. That's nice to know. I used to sew. I still do. But I used to sew much more. And I remember once seeing a pair of plaid pants at a store in L.A. called Jack's. Fabulous. And I really wanted a pair. And they were just too expensive. Mm-hmm. So I thought, well, I can do that. Mm-hmm. And I went to Home Yardage, and I got the most beautiful plaid fabric, and I took it home, and I made myself a pair of plaid pants, and they were awful. I'm sorry to say.
Well, I would have told you that plaid is really not a flattering on the bottom part of your body.
Oh, anything would have been flattering on the bottom of my body. I was 18 years old.
Oh! You know. Well, then usually it is.
But... Oh, my goodness. Yes. Certain things just require such skill. Oh, well. I'm
like
glad you have
colors,
it all.
White color, light, white.
Yes.
That should be on the top and not on the bottom on most
people. Oh, I agree with that. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. I remember a friend of mine once said about white leggings that were kind of in style in the 80s.
Oh,
she suggested.
That enhances the body.
She suggested they just plain be illegal.
Yeah.
I know. They don't look right. Okay. So if you were to write a love letter now, just to anybody in your life, to whom would it be?
I'd probably write today to the fellow that is waiting for his 3-piece black suit for his father's memorial tomorrow, and it's not in yet.
Why would you write to him?
Well, I want to apologize in the event that it's not here, and he was really looking forward to wearing that suit for his father's funeral. Well, for his memorial.
Yes.
He's buried along a couple months ago. And I spoke to him this morning on my way over here. And I said, Kier, you know, if it doesn't arrive this afternoon, I know you, he says, Andy, don't stress. Stress is the worst thing. I have so much in my wardrobe. I can go back and put something else on. And I said, but I know you were looking forward to that three-piece suit with the, you know, vest that you don't have. And he said, it's okay. I can wear something else.
So you just touched on something really important, I think, in the world of love letters. And that is, and I think most people don't realize this, an apology is one of the most elegant love letters a person could write. I'm so glad you said that.
Well, when this man came to my office to have his clothes made, he was there specifically for this suit, and then he thought, oh, I'm going to get a tux, and I'm going to get some shirts, and I'm going to get some trousers and a sport coat. And then all of a sudden, he broke down. And I have not seen a man break down in my office frequently.
What was the reason for his falling apart?
His father passed away a couple of days before.
Oh, and you hadn't known this at the time.
And he was there with his significant other. And she just put her arm around him.
Oh.
And he just stood there over the fabric swatches.
Uh-huh.
And had these big tears coming, dropping on the cloth. And I thought, oh, boy, this is really, what do I do now, you know?
Yeah.
But then he said, I'm so sorry, Andy. My father died unexpectedly.
Oh, and so entitled to those tears.
Yeah, and he's probably 50, and his father was probably 70. And
too young.
Yeah, it was all young. So, and he was such a proud, his father was such a proud man. That when I spoke to him this morning, he said, we found things in my father's home that he did, was, that he, awards that he had gotten and we didn't know about.
Oh.
And we're going to display him tomorrow at the memorial.
So what kind of things will you say, excuse me, in your apology to him? I think this is important for people to know. What makes an apology a great love letter? Because you just said some things out loud now.
Mm-hmm. I want him to know that I tried my best to get my workshop, to get that, you know, suit finished. But the fabric came late from Europe.
And so those are the facts about why it didn't work out.
And also, he didn't give me really enough lead time to make the suit. And I was rushing it.
Yes.
And right now, it's a very busy time.
Okay, so a good apology doesn't ever have a but in it, you know, but he didn't give me enough. So that doesn't really have to be in the letter.
No.
Although it's certainly a fact. What about the things you just said about him?
Mm-hmm.
What about, I remember when you were in the office, in my studio, and I remember when you broke down crying at the loss of your father, and then talk a little bit about what you learned about his father, and I'll tell you why. Because that letter, people keep letters forever.
Mm-hmm.
They keep good letters forever. If you write a nasty letter to somebody, they don't even read it, it goes in the wastebasket, and you look like the dodo. But a good letter, people keep forever. Does he have children?
No, he's not married.
Nieces, nephews.
I'm sure he has a big family.
Because somebody will find
this letter. Yeah.
Years later, they will find this letter and they will know not only more about his father, their relative, they'll know about how somebody cared about him.
Mm-hmm.
You.
Well, I'll have him listen to your show.
But you want to write it down and send it to him, maybe even before.
Mm-hmm.
Or both, because, you know, when people see a letter, I've had this experience, and everyone I know who's written a letter has, when it's in handwriting, it triples the value.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
That's why a thank you note, I don't call or text.
Right.
I send a thank you note whenever someone's done something nice.
I do too, but you know what I do now?
Hmm.
Because a thank you note takes 2 days to get there if you write it right away, and people are so altered by the internet experience that if you don't say something the next day,
mm-hmm.
they wonder why you didn't. So I'll send an email saying, letter to come, I just wanted for the immediate satisfaction to tell you what a wonderful time I had.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I say. So they know that I'm not so rude that I'm not doing anything.
That's very nice.
The world has changed.
It has.
You know, by the time they get the letter, it could be that they're so upset that you didn't respond.
Exactly.
Crazy.
Exactly. And even a phone conversation. You know, people would rather text than pick up the phone. I would prefer talking to someone.
Yes, but for something like this, while talking is wonderful, you can't reread a phone conversation years later.
That's right.
You always, I hope you do this. Okay, thank you.
Well, you're
I'm
welcome.
So glad, I'm so glad we met. I'm so glad to know what you do for a living, which I did not think existed. My mother used to have her clothes made.
Hmm.
And Emmy Lassen and Sherry Bourne and, you know, L.A.
Mm-hmm.
And she had most everything made, and it was kind of common then.
Oh, it was?
Yes. Towards the end of her life, when she was in her 90s, she fell in love with the store JCPenney, which was near her house. And she just loved it. But, you know, that's not how she lived most of her life.
No.
It's so easy to buy good clothes, though.
Yeah.
You know, as far as people like me who sew them or have them made.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's get the word out there, people, that if you have a desire to have something made, that this lady, Andy, is competitive with what you would pay in the stores.
Absolutely.
Thank you for doing this with me. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, Janet.
Until next time, this is Janet Gallen saying goodbye, and we'll talk to you later.
Great.